The fourth word is only found in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark, and it's the only word that they include in their Gospels. I'll be looking at the Matthew's account. Matthew 27, verse 45, from noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Moving to verse 50, then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And after his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." It had been quite a week for the rebel rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth. On the Sunday prior, Roman governor Pontius Pilate had, and a heavily armed contingent of Roman soldiers had processed into Jerusalem with a show of force and power to ensure that there was no unrest or uprising during the Jewish Passover, which of course is a celebration of Jewish liberation. At the same time, Jesus led a counter-processional of the poor and marginalized of society in protest of Roman oppression. Today we celebrate this as Palm Sunday. The following day, on Monday, Jesus moved into civil disobedience mode by disrupting the temple, turning over tables and jars of money, and driving out animals used for sacrifice. By Thursday night, Jesus was arrested. He was put on trial and convicted through the night, and on Friday morning, he was executed on a cross by Rome. The rebel rabbi Jesus of Nazareth had been crushed and crucified by the empire. Jesus was not surprised by this outcome. His cousin John the Baptist had been killed by King Herod. When you challenge the powers that be, they strike back. And this would be the nature of the first century church. Not long after Jesus' crucifixion, James was killed by King Herod. Peter was crucified upside down by Caesar. And Paul shortly followed, beheaded as a Roman citizen. Yes, it had been quite a week for the radical reconciler, Jesus of Nazareth, who had for 3 years ministered and healed and welcomed everyone with unconditional love. Now the one who had reached out to the rejected was experiencing rejection. While marching in protest that prior Sunday, Jesus stopped to shed tears over Jerusalem as he realized his message had been rejected. That Thursday night, after a Last Supper with his disciples, he went to pray in Gethsemane, and his inner core, his inner circle, his running buddies, we might say, Peter, James, and John couldn't stay awake in this moment of grief. 3 times he asked them, and they slept on. He had been rejected emotionally. Judas soon arrives on the scene and betrays him, and the rest of the disciples run away. Thursday night into Friday morning, Peter denied him 3 times. The religious leaders condemned him. And by morning, the crowds rejected him and chose Barabbas instead. And even at the cross, Jesus' disciples are absent. The radical reconciler, Jesus of Nazareth, had been rejected by his followers, his friends, and most of his family. Jesus would not be surprised by this outcome. He had a deep understanding of the human condition. And then we hear this fourth word, his cry from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? While crucifixion by the empire was not a surprise to Jesus, while rejection by followers and friends and family was not a surprise to Jesus, abandonment by God was a shock. Why have you, God, forsaken me? Jesus had never experienced the absence of God. Jesus had eternally been in an intimate relationship with God. His conception was God. His birth was organized and arranged by angels sent by God. At his baptism, the voice of God said, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And it's repeated again on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my Son whom I love." And then that night before, that Thursday night before the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had one of his most intense and intimate encounters with God as he struggled whether he could show up the next day and take the cup of suffering. From intimacy to isolation, from faithfulness to forsakenness, from a unique and amazing relationship with God to utter abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? In this very painful and deeply personal moment, Jesus prays. Because of the shock of it all, it seems that Jesus has no words, so he borrows words from the Psalms. Psalms 22 in the Hebrew prayer book begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus does not pray in his usual intimate form, but prays the words of Scripture. Yet the feeling of emotional and physical pain is intense, so the liturgical form of the psalm in its Hebrew language for the temple cannot communicate his deep night of the soul. So on the cross, he translates from Hebrew into his home dialect of Aramaic, the language of his heart, the creole of his soul. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yet even in this most dismal and depressing moment of feeling forsaken, Jesus does not let go of his faith. My God, Eloi. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. Reverend Thomas, I'm not satisfied with this ending. Please allow me to take a quick glimpse at the situation through the window of Easter. There must be another message behind the word of forsakenness that can only be seen by peering through the window of Easter. Even a quick glance through the window of Easter reveals that God was not absent. While Jesus could not have expected or predicted his feeling of forsakenness, God did not forsake him. God was silent, not absent. Silence is not forsakenness. Silence is not powerlessness. Silence does not mean a lack of action. When viewed through the window of Easter, we can see that God's silence had a purpose. God could have intervened. God could have rescued Jesus from the cross. Jesus in Gethsemane even says that he could call out and God would send 12 legions of angels. I went on Wikipedia today to see how much a legion was. 3,000 to 6,000 times 12. We're talking about 50,000 or so angels. Could have come down and rescued Jesus, and they could have swept him through Jerusalem to Rome, and they could have taken Caesar out and put Jesus in as king. But God restrained God's self. God showed great restraint for 3 hours as the earth went dark. God did not rescue Jesus. How do I know that God restrained God's self? Because the moment Jesus died, boom, God let loose. Sunlight, curtain ripped from top to bottom, earthquake, tombs break open, dead saints lived, and the Roman execution squad declared their faith in Jesus. God might have been silent, but God was not absent. God showed great restraint because there was a purpose in Jesus' death. And that purpose was resurrection. Rescuing Jesus from the cross would have been a singular event. Resurrection was an eternal event. Without Jesus' death, there'd be no resurrection. Resurrection declares that death does not have the final word. Resurrection from death by Caesar declared that oppressors do not have the final word. Resurrection declares that rejection is not the final word. We may feel forsaken by God, but silence does not mean absence. God is always on the scene. God is always with us. And if God goes silent and feels absent, you better get ready because you may be on the verge of a resurrection.